Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Soren, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Great. How surprised are Chiefs fans to still be playing after the way last week started?
That's funny. If you take it back to 24-0 with a franchise, with a town that's waited 50 years to get back to the Super Bowl, that has a trophy named the Lamar Hunt Trophy that's never resided in the stadium that Lamar Hunt got built. I have seen Lynn Elliott miss three field goals as a one seed in 95 to kill him. John Elway drive down and kill him. Not force Peyton Manning into a punt in a playoff game in Arrowhead Stadium. Blow a 28-point lead at the Indianapolis Colts. They've seen just about every way you can screw up a playoff game, and so this was instantly going into that bag. But I will tell you, there was still a hope. I won't tell you a belief, but there was a hope that things are different because they finally got the franchise quarterback. And in the end, in what ended up being 39 minutes of real time, they went from being down 24-0 to up 28-24. It's still something that the town has not come down from.
Yeah, it's amazing. Watching that game in real time, it was like everything, you know, went against the Chiefs for the first, you know, X amount of minutes, and then everything just went their way. I mean, I thought that fumble on the kickoff return changed the game. That opened things up for you guys. But let's get back to this week's game for just a second here. I'm concerned about Andy Reid. You know, he always seems to collapse in these moments. Are Chiefs fans concerned about that?
Not really. Okay. And I will tell you why. Okay. You know, I've said this because I've had a number of these conversations, and generally Andy Reid comes up, and I've said I think people are going to have to start viewing Andy Reid's history as, you know, BP and AP, before Patrick and after Patrick. Okay. What I've contended is that Andy Reid has propped up some good quarterbacks. But to win championships, you need great quarterbacks. As good as Andy Reid is, Patrick Mahomes is more important. As good as Bill Belichick is, Tom Brady was more important. And I know those are debates that we in sports talk love to have, particularly on like a slow June day. If your baseball team's already out of it, it's a fun one to get going to keep people's interest. But I think reality is we're seeing what Andy Reid could do with a quarterback. You know, without Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback, his playoff record was a couple of games below 500. Right now he stands at 2-1. And Dee Ford lining up offsides in the AFC Championship game is what kept him from getting to the Super Bowl last year. You know, Mahomes changes everything. You know, the clock management thing that gets hung around Andy Reid's neck. I'm going to tell you that there is such a sizable difference between watching Andy Reid, you know, call the plays. I mean, the plays don't look that different, but the way they're executed with an Alex Smith versus a Patrick Mahomes. You know, you get the ball at 1:50 to go in a timeout. Alex Smith is going to run the ball three different times. Those plays are going to take at least 25 seconds by the time you re-line up. He's going to check down to the running back three more times, where Patrick Mahomes drops back and rifles the ball 15, 20, 25 yards down the field. And, you know, the Chiefs went into that AFC Championship game at the end down 3 points, 32 seconds and one timeout, and everybody thought it was over. And with Patrick Mahomes, he went down the field and got a field goal to tie it. They didn't win the coin toss, and they didn't get back out on the field. But, you know, he had a clock management situation there, and he executed it. It's a whole new day with Patrick Mahomes. So from a Kansas City perspective, waiting, you know, from whenever Len Dawson ceased to be a franchise or Hall of Fame caliber quarterback late in his career, 45 years or so, to see a quarterback play like this, there's much more confidence. I think there's a, you know, and what you might say is there's a belief in Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid has at least been set to the side. Now, if they lose a game that they're favored by a touchdown against the number six seed, then what you just talked about will be front and center, and it'll be the only thing people talk about for a month in this town.
I think when the playoffs started, a lot of people expected Kansas City to be there. I don't know if anyone would have picked Tennessee to be the opponent. How surprised are you by the Titans' run and what they've been able to do in this playoffs?
Yeah, I think you have to be surprised. You know, anybody who could say that, well, I knew Henry was going to get going. Look at what he did in that final game of the regular season. Well, that was a game that the Texans laid down. I know they're grouping these three games together. There's no doubt that was a playoff game for the Titans, but it wasn't for the Texans. They had numerous guys that weren't playing, so he has a big day. You think, okay, this is a 9-7 team. Look, there's fear in Kansas City, particularly the older fans that believe in the old adage, you've got to run to win. And so they see this. They grew up on Marty Schottenheimer football, and they think that's how you play, never mind the fact that Marty Schottenheimer always lost in the playoffs and, generally speaking, to a better quarterback performance. There's a fear, and we spent a lot of time talking about, look, yeah, they're 3-0, and Derrick Henry's a beast and running the ball, but they were 8-7 before this three-game stretch. I mean, this is not a team that is without flaw, and even the game that they beat the Chiefs 35-32, they got a fumble return for a touchdown, 54 yards. Chiefs missed an extra point, muffed a snap on a field goal, and had a field goal blocked. I mean, that's 14 points for all the talk about 188 yards on the ground that Henry had against the Chiefs in that first game, 220-plus rushing overall for the Titans, they were still barely winning the game. And if all those mistakes don't pile up, you know, this could be a very different game. For how much he was pounding away and beating up the New England Patriots, you know, with a couple minutes to go, the Patriots were still only down 14-13. One long field goal, and they steal that win. I've compared the Ravens and now the Titans to Marty Schottenheimer's Chiefs. I mean, it's a sound philosophy to win a lot of games in the regular season, but ultimately to win three or four playoff games in a row, for the Chiefs, they're trying to win three, the Titans four with the wild card round, you're going to have to overcome adversity, and that style of football usually can't overcome it. Last week, Derrick Henry had, I think, 27 yards on the ground rushing when the Titans were up 14-0, and that ultimately would be enough points. It was two touchdown passes for Tannehill at that point. It was a couple of takeaways for the Titans that built them there. So if the Chiefs don't turn it over, Derrick Henry can still run for a lot of yards, but I don't think the Titans can win no matter how many yards he runs for if they don't take the football away from the Chiefs.
Soren, what's the latest with the injuries to Travis Kelce and Chris Jones?
Travis Kelce, you know, they're calling it a bruise to the knee, and then he obviously was grabbing his hamstring in that area on the last game. They say he's fine. He's been practicing, so I think the expectation is that he will be fine, as close to 100% as you can be after 17 games. But he's banged up, but, you know, it didn't bother him in 10 catches for 135 yards and three touchdowns last week. So I would think he's as good as you can be right now. Chris Jones was on the practice field today. He hadn't practiced the first couple of days of this week. I really would be kind of surprised if he plays. Andy Reid, now you get to the playoffs and everything changes. Regular season-wise, he wants you to go through a full week of practice, sit a day, sit a game, and then you'll come back for the next game. Now, this being the AFC Championship game, I think it's likely that you may see him be active, but they may try to stay away from going to him in hopes that they can keep him out. But if he's healthy, they'll play. Andy Reid is not afraid of, and maybe even to a fault, playing guys, certainly with his running backs. Every year, he seems to be down to his third running back. This year, he seemed to get Damian Williams' injury out of the way, so now the starter's back in there. But he will run guys out there, so I would be surprised if he plays. Calf injuries tend to linger, and Chris Jones is a big part of their pass rush, their run defense. And that's not his strength, so I don't think you can use Chris Jones not being there as an excuse if Henry does go for 190 yards on the Chiefs. But if he does play, it makes their pass rush a lot better.
So I have to ask you, somebody who's based in Kansas City, I don't know how long you've been there, but you know, a year ago, John Dorsey was a made man in Cleveland, and now he's gone. And are you surprised at all by how this ended, as quickly as it ended for him, and the way that it all crashed when a year ago at this time he was being hailed in this town as the savior of the franchise?
Yeah, so I've been back, 48 years old, grew up here and spent a couple of stints out of town, but for the most part, most of those 46 or 42 or 3 of those years here. I covered this team certainly with John Dorsey as well, and I like John Dorsey. I like the guy. I like talking to him. I think he's a bright football guy. I think he's got a talented eye for scouting. And I don't know all the details that go on, right? It's obviously a very hands-on owner. And how much does the owner push for certain things? You know, that didn't happen here. I can tell you that the failure here is not because ownership, asked for moves that were bad and then he was scapegoated. He certainly didn't jive with Andy Reid 100% because Andy Reid's the top dog. And if Andy Reid wanted to save his job, he could have. He didn't. So I wouldn't say that Andy Reid wanted him out, but Andy Reid certainly didn't step in and prevent him from being taken away. I think, he sees the talent, and he's great at understanding the talent. The cap was an issue here. Handling contracts, his management style is said to have been a problem. What that is, I don't know, and to me that's far down on the list. Now, part of the management style is if you butt heads with a Hall of Fame coach, then and the coach is the guy who was hired before you were, then that's going to get you fired. I can't speak to what happened in Cleveland. I know he's a talented personnel guy. I've talked to a number of people. Do you think John Dorsey will get another shot as a general manager. And they, to a man, have all said, listen, you get two tries at it, you don't get a third. And so they would be surprised if he got a GM job. But I think somebody would certainly be wise to bring him in some kind of scouting, pro player personnel, you know, college director. I mean, I think he's a guy that has a lot to offer with his football knowledge, but certainly was not able to handle the situation. And every situation is different. There's only 32 GM jobs, and they all come with their own unique challenges, whether it's, you know, dealing with Jerry Jones, or whether it's dealing with, you know, the Hunt family basically just letting you do whatever you want. You've got to figure out how to make it all fit and how to make it all work, and he just wasn't able to do that here in Kansas City.
Hey, Soren, whatever happened with the Tyreek Hill situation, and how have the fans responded to that?
So, you know, ultimately, you know, the Chiefs stood behind him. They basically took a wait-and-see approach publicly, was what they said, that they were going to, you know, let the legal process play out, and at that time they would address it. I can tell you that throughout the process, they always felt like they had more information, and they felt like there would be information that would come to light that would show that Tyreek Hill was not, you know, the clips that one television station in this town played that really didn't detail the whole conversation, that eventually the information would come out when the 11 minutes of conversation between Tyreek Hill and his now children's, plural, mother, came out. You realize that the one snippet that was taken out within context looked very different, and they had really sensationalized and grabbed the worst part and played on what was the storyline beforehand, even though in that, the part that I think really kind of turned the tide for Tyreek Hill was, one, no charges were ever filed when it comes to the injury to his child. We still don't know how that came about. Many people suspect that it might have more to do with the mother or even other family members there. But no charges were ever filed against Tyreek Hill. And in the audio, when the audio came out of him saying, come on, Crystal, you know that I never touched you at Oklahoma State. You know, I never did. And he kind of explained what were the original charges, right, that he pled guilty to. And it got the Chiefs in hot water when they drafted him in the fifth round. That conversation came up when he had no idea he was being taping, so he wasn't. And she did know that she was taping, and you could tell that it seemed to be that she was baiting him at times into what it was she wanted the conversation to be. I don't think anybody's 100% satisfied with it, right? I don't think you can be when a child is injured, and we don't get closure on how that child was injured. I can tell you he is in his children's lives. The government has deemed him acceptable to be there. I talked to somebody who saw him and his kids at Chuck E. Cheese just a couple of days ago. So he has been brought back into his kids' lives. I can't say that for the mother. I don't know. She may have been or not. When she's with her kids, nobody knows who the kids are, right? You see Tyreek Hill, you know who he is, and then you see him hugging his kid or something, you're like, okay, that must be his kids. But I don't think anybody's satisfied with it. The Chiefs put a contract together, 3 years, $54 million. That kept him a Chief, but has every out clause possible. The guaranteed money is all dependent upon him not getting into any trouble. So I would say, I wouldn't say it's water under the bridge. I would say it was a significant event. The relationship between the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill and the fans will never be completely healed, but it's one that can be productive for both sides moving forward.
Hey, Soren, real quick, when you went through everything that has gone wrong for the Chiefs, I couldn't help but think do they think it's a cursed franchise? Because, you know, Cleveland, we know that well, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong until the Cavs won the championship in 16. Do the fans feel like the Chiefs are a cursed franchise and Patrick Mahomes is their best shot out of this?
There are rumblings that Arrowhead Stadium was built on a Native American burial ground. There are, you know, different theories as to why. Yeah, they absolutely think they're cursed. You know, listen, I can tell you Royals fans thought they were cursed. They waited 30 years for a championship. We're at 50 now for the Kansas City Chiefs, so you can imagine where they are. But I think Mahomes has erased, let's say, 80% of it. I mean, you can't erase it all until you at least get to the Super Bowl, and that'll be a temporary fix. You got to win the championship, and if they win the championship, then that'll go by the wayside. But I think the one thing that they have noticed, because during those 50 years, like I said, they have never seen, they saw a quick pocket of Trent Green play quarterback at a high level with an offense that had no defense. They saw Joe Montana play quarterback, glimpses of his time here where he played at a Hall of Fame level, but he was clearly on the downslope of his career. Now watching what is a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, I mean, we'll see. He's got to stay healthy to get there, but he's obviously playing at a Hall of Fame level. Now watching him play, they're all willing to accept the fact that what has been missing is the quarterback, and now that they have it, that bright days are ahead. Listen, people spend a lot of time talking about, I just can't believe that we're going to have 20 years of this guy and 18 years of this guy. Right now, he is a magic wand that cures all ills. And that includes even accepting the loss in the AFC Championship game last year. He left the field leading, as he often does in almost every loss. He's out there. I don't know when the Chiefs have really ended a game with Patrick Mahomes not converting on fourth down or throwing a pick. That's just not how it ends. It ends with the defense being out there and the other team getting points and him not being able to get out on the field. So all of that has given Chiefs fans, you know, the belief that it is ending. And it's funny because I've talked with people in Cleveland over the years, like particularly draft time. And I know because of all the drafting Cleveland has done, a couple of years ago, you know, somebody told me, you know, anything but a quarterback. We just don't want to draft a quarterback because we know how that ends up. And in Kansas City, it was the exact opposite because they hadn't taken a quarterback in the first round since Todd Blackledge in 82.
Wow.
Every year there was frustration that the Chiefs didn't take a quarterback. I remember people being pissed they didn't take Geno Smith. They didn't take Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
They didn't take whoever the quarterback was that was on the board and near them or they didn't take, and they were frustrated. They finally got their guy, and I think that's what gives them the belief that things are going to change and change in a big way real fast.
That's good. Thanks so much, Soren. Thanks for the time.
Always my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.